2 Kings chapter 5. And now when Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, the king of Syria said, go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." And we'll know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. With God's word open to me, ask the Lord to bless the reading of his precious word. Our Father, we thank thee for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing. Now, Lord, as we look at the life of this man, Lord, we pray that you'll speak loudly. Lord, we pray if there's those in the meeting that knows you not as Savior, or those that are tuning in the internet, Lord, that they might come and wash and be clean and find thee as Savior. Hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, I need your help tonight. O Lord, speak through me, I pray. Anything that is off the flesh, deafen at the ears of the people. Bless and undertake, and we'll give thee all the praise, and we'll give thee all the glory, for thy alone art worthy. Amen. Although Naaman was a great man and in a great place, not only rich, a mighty man of valor and honorable, he also was a favorite of the prince. The Bible tells us also he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is the universal picture of sin. Naaman was as great as the world could make him. And yet, as Bishop Hall expresses, the lowest slave in Syria would not change places with him due to his leprosy. Verse 2 tells us about a little maid taken captive. And one day the great army led by this man, Naaman, went into the land of Israel. This little maid might have been going out to get water for her family. She might have been going out doing something for her family. But the Bible tells us that she was taken captive. This man took her captive and took her down into Syria. What a witness this little maid became. When she heard of Naaman's problem, she could have harbored resentment. She could have said, it serves him right that he has this leprosy. He has taken me away from my family. He's taken me away from my country. He's taken me away from everything that I know. It serves him right. She could have had satisfaction in her heart that the man who stole her away was a leper. It serves him right, she could have said. We are told, we are not told her name, but she is one of God's precious little nobodies who's waiting for a mighty, mighty award from God. Because only for this little maid, we would have lost this story about this man. Very briefly tonight, I want to look at three things about Naaman. First of all, I want us to look at Naaman's miserable condition. The Bible tells us he was a leper. Secondly, I want us to see his mistaken conceptions. He was going to the wrong people. He was going to the wrong place. I want us to see his mistaken conceptions. But praise God, last of all, I want us to see his marvelous conversion. His miserable condition, his mistaken conceptions, but praise God, his marvelous conversion. First of all, Naaman's miserable condition. We are told in verse 1, his position in Syria, he was the captain of the host. And some of the commentators have said he was the prime minister of this place. He was a great general, and he held this post in Syria. Verse 1 also tells us he was a friend of the king. He was a great friend of his king. He didn't have to make an appointment to see the king. He could go in any time to see the king because he was a great friend of the king. The Bible tells us in verse 1 he was an honorable man. He was well respected in Syria. If you had dealt with this man, he would have paid his bills. He would have done everything up front. He was very well respected. He was an honorable man, the Bible tells us. The Bible also tells us in verse 1, he was a man of valor. There was no braver soldier in Syria. And I'm sure as he rode on his chariot up and down the streets of Syria, the little boys would look and say, I want to be like that great general someday. He was a hero to the people of Syria. But friends, the Bible in verse 1 also tells us another thing about him. Yes, it tells us all about these things that we've mentioned. But the Bible says, but. Every time you read in the scripture, but, you'll find something of interest. And the Bible says, with all these great things, his position as a captain, his position as a friend of the king, his position as an honorable man, his position as a man of valor, but the Bible says, but he was a leper. You know, Naaman's leprosy had no respecter of persons or title. I'm sure he would try to cover up with the best of clothing. He would try to cover up. At the end of the day, the leprosy was still there. It's the same with sin. As we said this, before, leprosy speaks of sin. I know, friends, tonight many people try to cover up their sin. But my Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. And the Bible tells me that, behold, your sin will find you out. I was just reading today the story of David. David, who was the friend of God. And you know the story where he should have been out with his soldiers, fighting with his soldiers. He stood up and he watched Bathsheba washing herself. And you know how he came onto this woman and took her. And she became with child. You know the story how this man started the sin. He sent for Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. He made him drunk to try and get him to go down to his wife to cover up the sin which he did with Bathsheba. But Uriah wouldn't do it. Then when that didn't happen, he made Uriah go back to the war. And he sent a message that Uriah should be put at the front where that man would be killed. But you know, David thought he had covered up his sin. And the old man of God, the prophet, came one day. And he told David about the story about the poor man's lamb. And you know, the old prophet told him all about the poor man's lamb. And David said, get me that man, and I'll deal with that man. And the old prophet said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David thought he could hide his sin, but friend, his sin found him out. You know, there was an Indian prince, and this Indian prince was a leper. But his leprosy was known to very few. He had a spot on his forehead. And what he would do when he would go out into public, he would put the beautiful jewel above his head. And when everybody saw the sun, this beautiful jewel would shine, and everybody would think, isn't that a beautiful jewel? Isn't that beautiful to look at? But you know, when this man went back home, and when he took that jewel off and he looked in the mirror, he could see that he had this awful disease of leprosy. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28 and 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. My friend, tonight in this meeting, are you covering up your sin? Are you sitting tonight here and you think that the sins that you have committed, they'll never come again? Oh friend, if you read Revelation chapter 20, and it tells about a great white throne, and it tells that the small and the great are standing at this great white throne judgment. And who are the people at this great white throne judgment? It is men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation. It's men and women that have covered their sins. It's men and women who have rejected their way of salvation to get their sins dealt with. And the Bible tells us they're standing at this great white throne judgment. And the Bible tells me that the books are open. And what books are these that's open? It's the books telling of their life story. All the sins that they thought that nobody would know about. At that great white throne judgment, they'll be brought out. And you know, friend, at their end, another book is open. And if their name is not found in this book, they're cast into the lake of fire. It's a book of life. The Bible says that they were cast into the lake of fire. Oh friend, tonight you need your sins dealt with. And your sins can be dealt with under the precious blood of the Lamb. This man was in a miserable condition. He had an awful thing called leprosy. What an awful state he was in. And friend, tonight you're in a miserable condition as well. You have this awful disease in your life called sin. And you need to have it dealt with. But you know his miserable condition. I want you to look at his mistaken conceptions. We read in verse 6, he went to the wrong person. He went to the wrong person. But there's one thing I want to say before we leave his miserable condition. He heeded the warning of the little maid. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's something for you and me. He didn't challenge this little maid. He didn't say, what would she know? I'm not going away up to see this man Elisha. What would this wee girl know? He must have seen something in the life of this little girl. And he took the warning. He took the warning that he needed to go and get something done with this awful thing called leprosy. And friend, tonight you need to take the warning from the Word of God tonight that you need to have sin dealt with in your life. Have you taken the warning? Have you listened as God's servant has preached from this pulpit week after week? Have you gone out the door covering your sins? Oh friend, tonight you're in a miserable condition. You're lost. You're lost unless you come and trust the Saviour. But I want you to notice his mistaken conceptions. We read in verse 6, he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel for cure. He was told to go to God's servant Elisha, who could point him to the way to have to be healed. You know, tonight he had this awful disease, and he was told to go to the man of God Elisha, who could help him. You know, my friend, as I've already said, you have a disease in your life and it's called sin. And there's only one person that can help you, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you had an awful incurable disease, and I said to you, friend, I know someone who can help you, someone who have an antidote that could help you, you would go running to them. Friend, tonight, there's only one that can take away sin, and it's the Lord the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can take away sin is the blood of Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. John 14 and 16. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He went to the wrong person. The only person that can help you to get your sin removed is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't come to the church. You can't come to a man. You can't come to anyone. The only one you can come to is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was the wrong price. We read in verse 5, he took 10 talents of silver. He took 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He thought that money would buy his health and money would buy his happiness. He thought if he brought all this money and gave it to Elisha, he would have happiness. But friends, it doesn't. The Bible tells us that you need to trust the Lord as your Savior. You know, the saddest thing is many people are depending on their soul salvation of giving money to the church and giving money to good works. Now, don't pick me up wrong. It's good to give money to church. It's good to give money to good causes. But if you're depending on this for your soul's salvation, my friend, you're lost. The Bible tells me in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. The late Billy Hamilton, who was a caretaker here in the church, and myself, many, many years ago, as members of the Male Witness, we were doing door-to-door visitations down the Craigie Road. We knocked the door of this house, and the lady asked us right away, were we Mormons? And Billy, in his normal way, said, dear, we're Christians, we're here to preach the gospel. And that woman said, oh, my minister warned me about you people. And Billy said, dear, what are you depending on your soul's salvation? And you know, friends, the answer that that woman gave, it still shocks me to this very day. She says, I go to my sister's farm and I bring a dozen eggs and I give them to my minister. And she says, do you think God will not let me go into heaven because I look after my friend? That woman was depending on her soul's salvation on a dozen of eggs given. And we left those two verses of scriptures with her. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. His mistaken conceptions. But you know, we have seen he went to the wrong person. We've seen he went, it was the wrong price. But I want you to notice it was the wrong procedure in verse 11. Notice Naaman's pride here. Naaman's pride. He drove up, I'm sure, in his chariot. And as he got there in his chariot, he was expecting Elisha to come out. And he says to himself, why did this man only send out his servant? Why did he not come out himself? You can see the pride of this man. You know, Naaman wanted healed his way. He didn't want healed God's way. And we see he said, is not the rivers in Abana and Pharpha better than this old river Jordan? Do I have to go into this old dirty river Jordan? Can I not go my own way? His pride. His pride. It was the wrong procedure. You know, there was a little maid who worked in a big house in London. And this little maid one time went to hear the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon preaching. And as Spurgeon finished preaching, he said, if anyone is interested to speak about their soul, I'll be in my office. Come and speak to me. Molly went in and she said, sir, I've come under conviction. Can you help me? And Spurgeon had the joy of leading Molly to the Saviour. That little girl went back to the place where she worked. She worked for one of the most notable women in London. And over the months, this woman saw a change in Molly's life. And she says, I'll have to go and see how Molly's life was changed. She came and she listened to Spurgeon preaching. And again, Spurgeon said at the end of the meeting, come and speak to me. As she came through the door, Spurgeon recognized her immediately. And he said, Lady so-and-so, if I had knew you were in the meeting, I would have give you a welcome. She says, Mr. Spurgeon, my little maid has come to you. And we see a change in her life. She would steal money. She would do things that wasn't right in our house. But we see a change in her life. And she told us that she came here and got saved. And I've come to hear about this. And she looked at Spurgeon and she says, could I get saved? And Spurgeon says, yes, dear, you could get saved. But then she looked at Spurgeon and she said, you know, do I have to come Molly's way? And Spurgeon says to her, you know, we all have to come Molly's way. We all have to admit we're sinners. We're lost sinners. And we need washed in the blood of the Lamb. The woman jumped to her feet and she said, if I have to come Molly's way, I'll not come at all. Her pride had got up on her. And you know, friends, tonight, pride is the worst enemy for men and women. The old pride, they won't realize that they are sinners. But you know, this man was fortunate that he had good servants. And his servants said to him, sir, if this man had asked you to do something else, would you not have done it? If he had asked you to do something else, would you not have done it? And he listened to what they were saying. You know, friends, tonight the Bible tells me that my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, tonight could be the last night that the Lord Jesus, that the Spirit of God could strive with you. I lifted a little book a couple of years ago, and it told the story of two widows who lived on the Balmoral estate at the time of Queen Victoria. Both their husbands had died, and they were living in two bungalows beside each other, two little cottages. And one night they had an awful fight, and the one fell out with the other. And she said, I'm never going to speak to my friend again. I'll never speak to her. She went into her little bungalow and sat by her fire, and her old temper got even more worse, and she said, I'm going to have nothing to do with this woman. I can go to my bed. And she went to her bed, and as she was lying in her bed, she heard footsteps coming down the pathway. She heard a gentle knock on the door, and she said, I'm not answering for that woman. She can knock all night. And she heard a louder knock, and she said, I'm not answering. And she heard a louder knock, and then she heard the footsteps walk away. She then fell asleep. The next morning she woke up, and like everything, her anger had settled down. She went into her neighbour and they threw their arms around each other, and they said, we're sorry, I'm sorry. And she says, I'm sorry I didn't open the door to you last night. Her neighbour says, I wasn't at your door last night. She says, well, I'll tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. And she walked down your pathway, and she knocked gently on your door, but you didn't answer. She knocked again, and you didn't answer. And she knocked again, and you didn't answer. And then I saw her walking away and getting into her carriage. That lady says in her little gospel tract that Queen Victoria never darkened her door again. She missed her opportunity. And then she says, sinner friend, if you're reading this little book, the King of Kings has been knocking on your heart's door, and you have said, I'm not going to let him in. And he's knocked a wee bit louder, and you said, I'm not going to let him in. And he's knocked a wee bit louder. And then she says this verse, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And she says, friend, just like Queen Victoria never came back to her door, the Holy Spirit may stop knocking at your door. Oh friend, there's danger in delay. But you know, we want to talk about his marvelous conversion. In verse 10, we have the message from God's servant. Go wash 7 times in Jordan. And as you know, 7 in Scripture is perfection. If he had not yielded to God's word, sent out by God's servant, and went on his rage, he would still have had leprosy. And most likely, it would have got worse, leading to his death and lost in a godless eternity. You know, sinner friend, the methods prescribed for healing of sin are so plain that they are utterly inexcusable if we reject them. It is believe and be saved, repent and be pardoned, wash and be clean. Will you believe and be saved? Will you repent and be pardoned? Will you wash and be clean? You know, Naaman had to go personally into that water. I'm sure if he had said to some of his soldiers or some of his friends, go you in for me, they would have certainly done it. But you know, he still would have had leprosy. God's way was that he had to go in personally. And friend, God's way of salvation for you is you must come personally to the Lord Jesus. You know, if you don't come personally to him as your Savior, one day he could be your personal judge. Just in closing, there was a story I read about a young man who was about 20 years of age, and he was riding his bicycle along the main street where there were tram lines. And as he was riding his bicycle, the bicycle got caught in tram lines. And this man was walking along the footpath, and he noticed the tram was coming, and the young man didn't know it was coming, and he knew the young man would have been killed. He ran and he pulled the young man to safety. And the next day, that young man, as I said, had got into trouble. He had to appear in court. He was standing in court and he was found guilty. The judge said to him, young man, stand to your feet. And the young man stood to his feet. And he said, young man, do you know me? And the young man said, sir, no, I don't. I've never seen you before. He said, "Young man, were you riding your bicycle along the main street last evening? And a man pulled you to safety and saved your life." He says, "Yes, sir, that's right." The judge said, "I was that man." And he said, "Young man, yesterday I was your savior. But tonight, today, in this court, I am your judge. I have to give a sentence." And you know, my friend, tonight without Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you tonight, "Tonight I could be your savior. But if you reject me again, I could be your judge." You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, friends, tonight, it's not God that puts people into hell. It's people themselves put themselves into hell because they reject God's way of salvation. Friend, tonight, are you going to reject the Savior again? Are you going to leave the meeting without Christ? Oh, I plead with you, come like this man, Naaman. And you read what he said. When he came out, his flesh was like a little child's. But yet, not only did he get help physically, but he said, "I now know that there's no other God, only the God in Israel." He became a child of God. Oh, friend, tonight, wash and be clean, and you can become a child of God.